Very good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from Immunutrition right here in Madison. And you'll also find her up at the Madison Healthcare Services, an office up there.
Yep.
And we'll talk more about that in a little later at the end of the program here. But Amber, welcome to the airwaves once again.
Thanks for having me.
Time to talk about food waste.
That's today. Right.
Yeah.
Food waste.
I'm not talking the food that goes to my waste.
No.
I'm just talking about the food that we waste.
That we actually waste.
That we waste by, there's a lot of ways to waste food, and you can tell us about it.
That's right. That's the whole goal here.
And why we shouldn't do it.
Or how we can avoid it, because yes. I think there's a lot of habits that we all have that kind of naturally lead to us throwing away things. And food waste is kind of a big issue. So we talked about, you know, the environment last week a little bit and what's good for the pollinators and what's good for our body. And we've talked about gardening a little over the past couple months. So I thought this time we could talk a little bit about the stuff that doesn't get eaten, whether we grow it or consume it from a grocery store or a restaurant or wherever else it might be. So I think the kind of the statistics on food waste are kind of surprising. Nearly a third of all of the food that is produced is lost or wasted. It's quite a bit.
It's a lot of food. That could be put to better use.
It could. And the cost of the global economy comes out to be about $940 billion every year in food waste.
Yeah.
So when we think about taking that back down to the United States, because we are certainly not the only country that wastes food, right? This is a global thing, especially in industrialized nations. About 27% of the food in the United States goes to waste, according to an organization called ReFED, or about 30 to 40% as it's estimated by the USDA. So somewhere between a quarter and over a third of the food that we eat is wasted. And the way that the USDA defines food waste in their estimation of 30 to 40% is any edible food post-harvest that's not ultimately consumed. So you're right, we could lose it to rotting, we could lose it to pests, we can lose it to spoilage. There's so many different ways that we can lose it. But the amount that we lose is just in the U.S. alone, is about 40 to 60 million tons, or approximately 120 billion meals worth. That's a lot of meals. So when we think about all the conversations that we have around school lunches, when we think about the conversations we have around feeding people who don't have ready access to food, and we talk about all the problems we have with food deserts, that's a lot of wasted food every single year. And it's not just the wasted food itself, it's also the wasted land and water and labor and energy and everything else that goes into food production that's wasted. So that's why these costs to the economy are so great, is we're not talking just about the food, we're talking about everything else that goes into getting the food from that field to our plate, right? And into our body, ultimately. So even though it can be lost multiple places throughout the food chain, 60% is lost at the household level. So most of it is lost after it's already ended up in somebody's home. And what that means is, on average, a family of four in the United States throws away about $3,000 worth of food every year. It comes out to more than $50 a week every year, just going into the trash can. So with groceries the way that they are right now, I imagine most people would like to reduce that food waste cost.
You'd think so, yeah.
Yes. So what can we do that?
Well, eat faster.
I don't think keep going.
Don't leave it sitting in the refrigerator.
There we go.
Eat it.
Yes. Eat more when you are feeling hungry. Eat an appropriate amount of food. So let's talk about maybe some more specifics. Let's hone that in a little bit.
That might have been some bad advice.
So first thing you can do is meal plan. I know people don't like to do it. You don't have to meal plan an entire week at a time. But when we go into a grocery store with a list, we are buying things that we have a plan to use. And I've talked about this before, but one of the things that I frequently see is people think, I need to eat more vegetables. So when they're at the grocery store, they say, well, I like broccoli. I'm just going to get broccoli and I'll make it sometime this week. I like salad, so I'm just going to buy a box of salad or a bag of salad or some heads of romaine and I'll make it at some point this week. If we don't have a plan for it, there's a good chance that that stuff is just going to sit in our fridge and it's going to get thrown away, and it's going to be factored into that $3,000 a year of food that we just don't even end up consuming. So if we have a plan for what we're going to do and we only buy the produce and other perishable goods that we know we're actually going to be able to use that week, we can save a ton right there. We can also meal plan just kind of a day at a time and really prioritize the things in our fridge that are going to go bad. So kind of doing an assessment in the evening or in the morning of what you have, what needs to be eaten, making sure that your fridge is arranged in a way that you're seeing the things that are going to go bad. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has found a container of leftovers and thought, man, I don't remember making this. When did we make this last? How long has this been in here? So prioritizing just how you have things sorted in the fridge so you can find them. And if you do meal plan for a week at a time, not everybody wants to go to the grocery store every single day. And I can appreciate that. Not everybody has the time to do that. If you plan for a whole week, think about realistically, what nights are you not going to be home? Do you have meetings? Do you have sporting events? Do you, you know, if you're planning for the whole week, do you realistically think you're going to cook every night that week? And if not, maybe tone down a little bit on what you're getting. I'm never going to discourage people from eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more good protein sources, but we don't want to be buying them if we're not actually going to end up cooking them. So beyond just shopping with a list, storing your food well. So keeping your fruits and veggies in the appropriate drawers in your fridge. Veggies tend to prefer higher humidity. Fruits tend to prefer lower humidity. So actually keeping them in the drawers that have settings for them can help them last a lot longer. Storing your leftovers and storing food in airtight containers. Keeping those leftovers at the front of the fridge so you actually use them. Use your freezer. Freezers aren't just for meat that you hunted. They're for leftovers. They're for fruit that you know you're not going to get to. They're for vegetables that you know you're not going to get to. So if you do notice, as you're kind of doing your daily or every couple day inventory of what you have for produce, if you know you're not going to get to it, think if there's a way that you can preserve it, whether that's freezing or canning or pickling or fermenting or dehydrating, or somehow preserving that food so that it's going to last a little bit longer. Now, of those options, freezing is probably the easiest because you just move it from the fridge into a container that can go into the freezer. Sometimes they need a little more prep. And certainly donating foods if you know you have non-perishable things that are going to go bad, or if you have extra food and you know a neighbor could use it and you know you're not going to get through all of your produce or all of your protein, certainly sharing with those around you. It's always good to have a good community support with food. And then another big thing is knowing how to read those labels. So we tend to throw away a lot of food that's fine just because it's past the best by date. When we talk about best by, sell by, use by, freeze by, those aren't measures of safety. Those are measures of quality. So use or sell by, for example, is to help with store inventory. It's not so much about when it's safe to consume out of your fridge. So if we get things home and we store them safely, really freeze by is just freezing it to maintain quality and maintain peak nutrition. It's not necessarily safety. So learning how to recognize spoiled foods, learning how to identify meat that has gone bad, learning how to identify vegetables that are unsafe versus vegetables that are just a little bit wilted that would maybe still work for cooking. And then if you do have food waste, if you can compost it or divert it to a farm. I know there was a Twin Cities school district that for quite a while partnered with a couple of local hog farms, and all of the leftover food went out to those farms. We did that in the Army as well. We had a couple of soldiers who had pigs, so they would just take that home with them, and that's what they would feed their pigs. But you can also make compost for your own garden for the things that you're growing. So any of those things where we can repurpose, reuse, donate, share, preserve, ways that we can just reduce food waste can make a big difference, not just for our budget, but for global health.
Well, if it's not green and glowing, go ahead and eat it. That's what I always say.
You know, you've had some exposure to stuff that was maybe past its best by time.
I have. Yeah.
With a level of varying outcomes.
Yeah, I'm still here.
But you're still here.
I didn't realize quite how bad the waste thing was. I was just looking at U.S. cafeterias.
Oh, yeah.
Food waste, 27 to 53% of the food that served as tossed out.
Isn't it crazy? It
wasn't when my dad was a principal.
I believe that. And you know, it's hard because we want to find a balance there, right? We don't want to force kids to eat things when they're not hungry, but we also don't want to be dumping out a lot of food. So that's where doing like food waste studies. I know schools are understaffed and a lot of places are understaffed, but seeing which meals get thrown away and then maybe taking them off the menu can be a good way to reduce that.
I just remember that when Mr. Meyer was there, you didn't want to have him seeing you throwing anything off that plate. That plate was cleaned off before you left the lunchroom. Probably not a bad idea.
Not terrible, but you were also probably a lot more active. You didn't have a lot of screens to sit in front of back then.
This is true.
Yes.
And, you know, people were a little smaller, too, shall we say, back then.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, right? Yeah. Lifestyles were very, very different. The food was usually cooked back then, too. It wasn't just prepared.
That's
All right. So many differences.
That's right. All right. Well, good topic.
Thank you.
I'm going to go home and finish off everything in the refrigerator.
Maybe not just tonight, though. Yeah.
Over the next couple of days.
There we go.
All right. Well, Amber, if anybody has any questions on food waste or any other nutrition topics, how can they find you?
Yep. You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. On Facebook at imunutrition. You can always send me messages there if you have requests for a show as well. Call here to the radio station. You guys can find me or come see me up at Madison Healthcare.
All right. Well, thanks for the taco, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank you.